Welcome to Pleasant Ridge Today, the official podcast of Pleasant Ridge Waldorf School in Viroqua, Wisconsin. I'm Robin Kotke.
I'm David Levin.
Good morning, David.
Good morning, Robin.
Oh, it's been another big, beautiful week.
Full week.
At Pleasant Ridge. I guess we should talk about Grandparents' Day.
Yeah.
It was really epic this year.
It was great.
So every year, as you may know, we have a Grandparents and Special Friends Day, where the elders in our children's lives come out and join us for a big part of the day. The day started with a student assembly first thing in the morning, and then followed by, which was a beautiful sharing from classes. There was music, there was poetry, there was a eurythmy performance, and then the grandparents were then able to go, and special friends were able to go to their loved ones' classrooms, so they were able to sit in on a main lesson. Mm-hmm. And the feedback from that was just glorious. I know that in the first and second grade, Mr. Shermer led them through a circle, morning circle, and in the fourth grade, I know that the grandparents were able to dance with the fourth grade. I know that Amy Morse's class played Jeopardy, all kinds of cool things happening there. A grandparent during a physics lesson was able to chime in because as a physicist, which was really fun. And so it just sounds like not only were they observing, but they were actively participating in the main lesson. And the children just love that. And the grandparents just, and special friends just love that. So after that main lesson block, all of the guests come back to the gym for a reception where we always have an alumni speaker on hand. And this year it was Eli Mandel, who only attended Pleasant Ridge through the fourth grade. But he has recently moved back to the area, and he draws on his experience from Pleasant Ridge all the time, and he credits his experience at Pleasant Ridge with bringing him back to the area and wanting to give back to the Driftless area. And he spoke so eloquently about it. Our guests really just gobbled it up. One thing that we want to mention, thanks to you, David, we were able to get the audio recording of Eli's address.
Yeah.
And I really encourage you to listen to it. It's going to be featured at the end of this podcast. And it's, and there are a few others from past years that we've recorded, but it really is beautiful testament to this education. And to be able to hear from alumni is a favorite. And so many people have lamented, because it is a small gathering on that day. Oh, that would just be so, I would really love to sit in on that. But now it's been recorded, and hopefully we can do that in subsequent years too.
Yeah.
It's so valuable.
So as you mentioned, we'll have his presentation at the end of this episode. So after we sign off, you just stick around and you'll get to hear from Eli.
And then what was really so special about this year was that we had a couple of grandparents stand up. They were just so moved. It's clear that there's so much affection for our school. And one grandparent stood up and said, it was Robert Holmes, and he said, every time I come into the school, I understand it and I love it more. And he was so inspired by our 40th anniversary and the 100th anniversary of Waldorf education. And he challenged the grandparents to a matching gift for the school. And if you need more information about that, please let me know. It was a really generous offer. Another Calvin Morris stood up, and he addressed the grandparents who were there for the first time and talked about how he has been at almost every Grandparents' Day and how he enjoys coming back and how he really would hope that these new grandparents felt welcome and invited them to join us again year after year. And finally, Erica Brozier's mom stood up and openly wept. She because she's had three grandchildren now go through the school. And it was just really beautiful. One of the things that Robert Holmes said that was so moving was that his son, Ethan, joined him too this time around. And that's Meyer's uncle. And he said, you know, Ethan really struggled in school. And here's this young man who's now in he's in his early 30s, maybe his mid-20s, I'm not really sure. But he said that Ethan had turned to him at one point and said, oh, if only I could have gone to a school like this too. And so hearing that from his son, I think was part of the reason he felt so compelled to stand up and make that offer and give that challenge. So so after the reception, we had an opportunity while we set up for lunch. Our guests went and had the option to go to subject classes. So Stephanie Pedretti had a number of grandparents come into the music lesson of the day, and Jerry Shanka had grandparents come and join for handwork. And then this year we also had the parent-child room set up for a screening of those beautiful Waldorf 100 films. If you haven't seen them, really, folks, I mean, they're just beautiful. I think to get through all three of them, it would take about an hour, but it's an hour that is well spent, just really understanding the worldwide impact of Waldorf education. Yeah. So, and then we had a luncheon, a beautiful luncheon. Eric Lieberman made 5 gallons of the most delicious chicken wild rice soup. And we had gotten together earlier that week to make a Thai pumpkin soup that was featured in Edible Madison. That's one that you want to check out. Margaret helped with that. We got together and Justina, and so we made soup, and it was well loved by all of the grandparents and special friends. And nice. It was a beautiful day, all in all.
We had 3 different family and friends come in for that.
Oh yeah, sure. And how did they
how did they love feel it? They just love it. They've come. One set comes from Winona. They've come many years in a row, and they love it because they keep coming back.
Yeah.
It's a great day. It took me a few years to really appreciate how big a thing it was. I guess because, you know, again, the parents aren't invited to join that, and I hadn't been involved either setting up or doing the audio or anything early. So it was just one of those things off in the periphery of my awareness. But the last few years, I've had more involvement with it, and then heard about it again more from, you know, the development team and all that, and come to realize what a special thing it really is.
Well, I have to say, too, that this is, it's a labor of love. Mary Christensen and Cynthia Olmsted dreamt this up years ago. I don't even know how many years this has been happening. I think for at least 10. And there were 25 volunteers from our parent community who helped from in all areas, from soup making to setting up the tables. You, of course, came and helped with the audio, and you set up the screening of the film.
There's quite the turn, too, because there's 2 different meals, sort of. There's the there's the presentation with the snacks and hors d'oeuvres available.
Yes.
And then they turn it again into to prepare for the whole lunch.
Yes, and so it moves fast. You know, folks were on hand to help with greeting folks and guiding folks throughout the day, and lots of table setting and cleanup. And I mean, good heavens, some folks baked some things and brought them. There was, you know, lots of plating of food. And it's something, too, that the parents really enjoy. And I think also, you know, just being able to hear that alumni piece. And the reason that we don't have parents come is because we do want the grandparents to have their own experience, but also because there's limited space. And so that's why we were so...
How many did you have this year?
About 80.
Oh, that's a good group.
It is. That's why we're just so glad this year we were able to get the audio of Eli's address. And this is something that you really don't want to miss.
Yeah.
Be sure to check out the photographs from Grandparents and Special Friends Day. Kate Holmes was on hand and really captured the event so beautifully.
Oh, yeah.
Those photographs are up on the parent portal. Thanks, Kate.
Yeah, thank you.
Special thanks, too, to Kickapoo Coffee and Organic Valley for product donation, which really helped make it an especially delicious event. If your loved ones enjoyed themselves and you think that they would like to receive school news and updates from us, the Calix or E-News, please send their contact information my way, along with any feedback that you may have from the event.
And let them know about the podcast, too. That's a great way for the extended community to kind of stay up to date with what's happening.
Sure. And, you know, and any loved one that you think would like to receive school publications, you know, certainly let me know.
Yeah.
And we'll make sure that they are on the invitation list for next year.
Great.
It's been a big week for field trips at Pleasant Ridge, too. We had the first and second grade go out to the Kickapoo Valley Reserve yesterday, and I was able to go as one of the parents in the class. It was really great. We had lots of playtime in the forest, and we were able to see the most recent shelter that the third grade built. This is they do their shelter block in the third grade. Mm. And so we were able to play, you know, in and among that. And the third grade had their overnight trip this week to the farm. And the fifth grade went to the Dubuque Symphony yesterday.
Oh, they had a great time.
And the big news from that, they came back just faces shining and saying, that was awesome. And I just saw a picture circulating of the whole class with the rapper Lyric, and they all had their photograph taken with him.
Oh, man, they were over the moon about that.
Yes.
Apparently there was Beatlesque screaming involved when he like came out or something. Some of those girls were just like, wow.
I don't think the girls were the only ones from what I heard.
That's probably true.
Yes.
Yeah.
Shall we take a look at the calendar?
Sure. Monday, October 21st, 7th grade parent meeting. That's from 5 to 6:30. Wednesday, October 23rd, kindergarten parent meeting, 5:30 to 6:30 in the kindergarten. Wednesday and Thursday, October 30th and 31st, parent-teacher conferences. So no school those days. Happy Halloween. Thursday the 31st, the Enchanted Forest from 3 to 5. And we may say more about that a little bit later. That's something you definitely want to plan for.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
Plan to arrive early, have dinner.
And then the following day, Friday, November 1st, also an in-service and no school. How many days off in a row is that?
Three. Well, three five if you count days. The weekend.
Well, yeah.
That makes me want to leave town. Oh, but wait. I can't.
No, you can't.
It's Halloween. It's in-service.
Enchanted Forest. And teacher conferences. We're officially supposed to stay around for those, right?
Oh, right. Oh, yes. Dear. Yeah, I'm not going to phone mine in. I'll be there. I'll stick around. It'll be nice. It'll be a nice,
be perfect,
cozy weekend.
With staycation. Some extra
days. Staycation, indeed. One of the hardest things that I've ever had to do during my tenure here at Pleasant Ridge as a parent and now as a staff member is to say farewell to Nan Marshall.
Mm.
Nan has been the office manager extraordinaire for 9 years, I think. And wow, will she be leaving a giant hole that's quickly being filled up by very capable and lovely folks. But still.
But Nan's Nan.
There is nobody like Nan Marshall.
Nope.
And, you know, she has such a way about her. It was just really amazing to watch her. That office is a busy place. And as children, you know, keep coming in, you know, one after another. And she's, you know, managing 20 different things at any given time. I would have to say that Nan is the most unflappable person I have ever met. And she assured me when I would say that, she'd say, oh, no, I flap.
She does it all internally. It must
she
be.
She must. But, you know, I think it was so clear how much she really loved being in that role, too.
Yeah.
And Nan is now off to Japan. I think she's leaving today or tomorrow. Not for good. That's really good
clarify.
News. But for a nice 17-day long trip.
Wow.
Upon her return from Japan, is going to be joining Valley Stewardship Network as their membership and communications coordinator, which she was kind of born to do. We've been giving Shelley Brenneman a hard time, you know.
Shelley. Saying,
you poached Nan. But, you know, Nan's son graduated from Pleasant Ridge last year, and this just seemed to be a really perfect time. And it was an opportunity that just arose, and she couldn't have foreseen it even a few months ago. Yeah. And then this opportunity arose like they do. And
for the record, Shelley did not poach Nan.
No, she did not. She was conflicted. Because she knew how much Nan means to the school, but also how great Nan would be for this role. And so it was very funny. Shelley did come to a board meeting and say, just for the record, I did not poach Nan. I mean, Nan is a grown-up. You know, she can make her own decisions. We will have something more formal for her as a school to say our farewell. But we did have a number of parents come in and faculty and sign a card that was presented to her. Mm. She came to the faculty meeting yesterday, and I think it had started to finally sink in for her that she wasn't coming back in that capacity. So she, her eyes were kind of brimming. And
she was flapping.
She was flapping.
That's a Nan flap right there.
And she, you know, she was actually, it was pretty funny because she came in and she was going to be late for another meeting. So I think she probably came in right at that moment, you know, when she didn't really have time to linger, because I think she might have really, she might have really flapped.
But I think a parade might be in order.
Oh, for sure. Speaking of parades, the sixth grade kind of did a parade for her on her last day, where they started coming in with all of these made-up ailments. And this was, I think, something that Mr. Schmidt did with all of his sixth graders who have known Nan since they were in kindergarten. Mm. She has always been the person who helps with scrapes, who, you know, helps phone the parents if something's been lost, or, you know, anytime, you know, something was needed, Nan was there. And so they came in and said things like, "Oh, I think I broke a rib." And they, you know, another student was carried in, you know, "Oh, they passed out." Another student came in and said, "I drank some chlorine and my belly doesn't feel good." I mean, these are crazy made up ailments. And so then she caught on. I mean, they kept getting more and more outrageous. Oh. And some children brought her cough drops and, you know, all of the different things. So it was really, you could tell how much... She loved that. So anyway, stay tuned. We will recognize Nan more formally at an assembly. And I know that Nan listens sometimes to the podcast too. And Nan, we simply love you. And thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts. You will be so missed, but you have also set the bar really high. We're super excited for Amber Knutson, who has been volunteering in that position for some time. So she and Barb Andre, who has been our Friday office person, will be sharing the office manager role. And so Amber will be there Monday through Wednesday, and then Barb Thursday and Friday. So we're so grateful for that kind of continuity. Yeah. And they too are lovely. We're so, so lucky.
For sure.
So we just started our book study of being at your best when your kids are at their worst. We started today. You're definitely not too late if you want to join. Today we just met over at Kickapoo Coffee to talk about how we would approach this book study. Mm-hmm. And what we've decided, there were about eight of us there, and what we determined to be the best course of action is to divide the book up. It is divided into three sections with 17 chapters, and we think that we will study this over the course of the year. And if you'd like to join us, please read section one, and we will talk about that for the first few months, and then we will move on throughout the year. But we also know that in addition to reading, we will also be able to really think about how we're bringing these ideas and this practice into our own homes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we'll be able to share in that way too. I mean, even this morning, it was just so fruitful. And we, you all talked about...
Have people started on the book already?
Some folks have started, you know, reading the introduction. And it's so funny because one parent said that her 11-year-old or 12-year-old saw the book and said, "Is this about me?" And to which she responded, "No, this is really about me." This is, you know, about... Anyway.
That's funny.
Yeah. So our next gathering will be November 8th. After the Martinmas Assembly, and we will gather in the parent-child room. There is still time to order the book. It can be ordered from Amazon. It's $13. I know that Jordan will be placing an order if you don't have Prime and you just want to get in on that order too.
And please, I assume that
please join us.
Ebook versions are less than that also.
Oh, for sure. And something to think about is that, you know, you can, the nice thing about this, since we will be studying the different sections, you know, of the book, you don't have to attend every one. Every time we meet, but the plan will be for Fridays between, if there's an assembly, we would meet afterwards in the parent-child room. And on those Fridays that we don't have an assembly, we will meet, for now we've decided to meet over at the Viroqua Food Co-op and, or we may move that over to folks' homes. We'll just see how this evolves.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Should be a good group.
October 25th. Please join the Parent Association for coffee and tea in the lobby after the assembly.
Parent-teacher conferences are scheduled for October 30th and 31st. Class teachers will post sign-up sheets on the bulletin board across from the office outside their classrooms, or will send them out to you electronically. Subject teachers welcome parents to meet with them as a group for parent-teacher conferences. They will be available on the afternoon of Wednesday, October 30th. If you are interested, please sign up for a time on the sign-up sheet on the bulletin board across from the office before the end of the day on Monday, October 28th. If you are unable to meet at these times, or if these times are full, please contact Stephanie Pedretti at 608-632-2607 to request an alternate time.
October 31st, the Enchanted Forest. Mentioned that a minute ago, but going to go a little deeper now. You really want to come to this event. It's a lovely event. The 8th grade puts it on every year. It's always a big secret what the theme is. So I have no idea.
I know.
I haven't even, oh, you can't tell.
I won't. It's really exciting, though. You know, every year. So for those of you who don't know, every year, the Enchanted Forest is based on usually a familiar fairy tale. And I only happen to know because my office is shared with the school's costume closet.
Oh, sure.
And Alice Ann and Katie were over exclaiming, you know, and I could hear, you know, different words, and I was able to put it, you know, all together. But I've been sworn to secrecy.
Good.
Don't try to get it out of me because you're not going to.
That would be like insider trading.
Yes.
Right? You happen to stumble upon some precious information.
Mm-hmm. But it will be really sweet.
Last year, the 8th grade was Peter Pan.
Mm-hmm.
And even as an 8th grade parent, I must have known. I know they were trying to keep that from us, too.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, super fun. So it happens in Hubbard Hills at the west end of Maple Street. Concessions will be sold by 8th grade parents. It's a big fundraiser for them. Please note, in your planning, there are no bathroom facilities at the site. So please plan appropriately for that. Cost is $2 per person, $7 maximum per family. It says here, please come prepared. I'm not sure. With, you know, alternate ways to take care of that, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Diapers or containers, whatever. No, that's not what we meant. Plan ahead. Anyway, $2 per person or $7 maximum per family. That's great for big families. Please call Paula Grenier at 606-3500 with questions.
Come join the Parent Association. We are always looking for new members to join the Parent Association. If you are interested in community building and planning educational and community events and supportive parents, please contact Jordan at jordan@brudos.net. Our next meeting is on November 3rd at 11 a.m. at Jordan's house. That's a Sunday, and children are welcome to come along. A light lunch will be provided.
Save the date. Parents' Night Out, November 13th. Stay tuned for details. Do we know anything more about that yet? Where you're going? What's happening?
I don't know that we do, but I'm imagining that we will talk about that at the Parent Association.
That makes good sense, because so, this is one of their events.
So if you are really gunning for a particular location...
Bowling alley, for example.
Oh, that's right. We talked. That would be really fun for most, not all. I would still go.
November
I'm a good
13th.
I'm a good sport.
Is the arena open for skating? I wonder when that opens. That'd be a fun
I just heard
too.
Somebody say something about them flooding the ice shortly.
Ah.
A parent night out at the ice arena.
The arena.
It could be kind
be
of
so
fun. It's time for parent feedback forms. As PRWS parents, we are annually called upon to provide feedback to our faculty. Parent feedback forms are in the office. Please take the time to thoughtfully provide your comments and suggestions to all of your children's teachers. We ask that these forms be returned to the front office before the Thanksgiving break. This is really so helpful.
Mm-hmm. Seeking substitute teachers. We're looking to add to our list of substitute teachers for the school year. We're planning to hold a substitute teacher orientation in October. Date still to be decided. If you're interested, please contact Jordan at 637-7828 or enrollment at pleasantridgewaldorf.org.
You know what else is coming up? Our annual visit from our Korean student friends.
Oh, yeah.
Perhaps you're interested in being a host family. If your family is interested in hosting a student from South Korea this coming January, we have 7 students in grades 4 through 8 that are in need of a host family while they are here to visit Viroqua and PRWS. It's a wonderful experience to be part of, and your family will be compensated for hosting. Please see Jordan in the front office if you are interested or would like more information.
We're going to be doing that this year.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's going to be really just so interesting.
When we first started the podcast, we invited Loma and Sumi and Jordan to talk about what that looks like and the history of our exchange with this group of friends. And if you would like more information about that, you might want to go back and listen to that podcast.
Yeah, there's a post on the main homepage, the PleasantRidgeWaldorfSchool.org. It's called Podcast Links. So you can find a direct link to all the episodes we've had. And most of them are just the date. But whenever we had a special feature, those are listed out there. So you can find that right there on the homepage. Vote for PRWS at the Viroqua Food Co-op. Calling all co-op members. It's time to vote for the co-op's 2020 Give Where You Live recipients, and PRWS needs your vote. Each VFC member may choose up to 5 local nonprofit organizations listed on the ballot, and the 12 that receive the most votes will be named the 2020 Give Where You Live recipients. This is a great program. It really, it generates an impressive amount of revenue for the school when we've been in the past, and it's not a given that we will. We really need to get the votes. I believe you mentioned last time we didn't make it last year.
We didn't make it last year. I think we had a number of votes, but there are so many great organizations in the area, so don't be complacent. Don't assume.
Yeah.
Because we always had been that we always will be.
Yeah. And it's another one of those great opportunities to, bring revenue into the school that doesn't come directly from us and each other, right? From outside the community. It's just a great thing. So for the whole month, these organizations will receive funds raised at the register when folks choose to round up their purchase to the nearest dollar. We do that pretty regularly when we're in there. It really adds up fast. So pick up to 5 favorite nonprofit organizations from the online ballot. I'm not going to read this whole URL, but you can find it in the lunchbox. I assume if you went to the co-op website, they'd also have a blurb there for the voting period for this. Cast your ballot anytime before October 31st, so you've still got a couple of weeks. And if you have any questions, check with Robin.
I will say that they also have computers set up at the co-op. So while you're there, you can go and vote. As long as you're a Viroqua Food Co-op member, in my family, both my husband and I are members, so we had 2 votes that we were able to do, but you can do that right at the co-op. And then the other thing to know is that you're also helping get the word out about Pleasant Ridge. You know, everybody who comes into the co-op, we would have that exposure too. So it's not only a fundraiser, but a friendraiser too, if you will. A friendraiser.
I've never heard that before.
Oh,
did you make that up?
No, I wish I could say that I coined that, but that's development speak. It's jargon.
Okay. So we're asking for your vote.
We're begging for your vote.
No. Please, God, please. Yeah.
Thank you for voting. I think that's it for this week.
Excellent.
Stay tuned to hear Eli Mendel's address as an alumni of PRWS and all of the ways that it continues to enrich his life. So, well, thanks, David. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
We'll see you next week.
I happened to be out having dinner one night, and I ran into Eli, I hadn't seen him since he went away to college. And he came over and said, "Do you remember me? I'm Eli. I remember you." Wow. And then a few weeks later, I met him again at a potluck. And he really astounded me and the other 2 women who were my coworkers in the 90s. And he started telling us how important we were in his life. And we all were amazed, you know. Eli left the school in 4th grade. So it isn't like we had all those years to know. And I was not from here, like some of the other 2 were. So I thought about that. And I thought, boy, Eli's story is a story to hear. So I asked him if he'd do this for us today, and he was so gracious about it and said, "Can't wait," you know, that sort of energy about where he's at in his life right now, the role of our community, the role of our school, and the role of, let's just say that the path that we were founding as adults 25 and 30 years ago, how it now welcomes him back and creates a really great environment. So that was really great for us to hear. So here's Eli.
Well, thank you so much, Mary. That was very, very lovely. Can everyone hear me? Good? Excellent. Well, good morning. Thank you all for coming here. It's a really privilege and an honor to be here today. It's a little weird being in this building. My perspective was a little shorter then, I suppose. So I started in kindergarten here in 1995, I'm 28 years old now. I just moved back to the area 2 years ago. So I was gone for about 8 years from high school. And it's interesting how I started here. So actually, one of my kindergarten teachers was my mother. So that was a very interesting experience. She likes to tell this story that I would come home from school and I would tell her about my day, like she wasn't there. And her partner, teacher, Roberta, was mostly responsible for my, I think, day-to-day time with her. And I think that was a testament to, I guess, how welcoming and how safe I felt here as a child. So yeah, as Mary said, I did not graduate due to some unfortunate extenuating circumstances. So I did go to public school, which was definitely a challenge and a new experience switching from Waldorf. But I think I've been thinking a lot about this lately, about how the values and my time in this building, in this community, really nourished my spirit as a young person and gave me, I think, a skill set and a perspective that has informed not just my life moving forward, but how I interact with the world, how I interact with people. I'll give you all kind of zip forward a little bit in time. So the work I am involved in now, I work for Crawford Stewardship Project, which is a local nonprofit environmental action group. So we do environmental advocacy, local control over natural resources, protecting our environment from extractive resource industries and pollutive industries. And so that is what I am involved with mostly in this community right now. And that has been just a wonderful pleasure for me. And coming home after being away, you know, for so many years, I never thought I would live back here. When I moved away at 18, I figured that was it. I always maintained a connection to this place, to this community. I would always visit, and I really appreciated that. But I really felt like my journey moving forward in the world was going to take me elsewhere, and it did. I went to college at UW-Madison. I majored in political science and environmental studies. I had a full ride scholarship, which I think I'm so blessed. You know, so many people end up with so much debt these days from college. So I didn't have that. So the opportunities were really open to me, and I really credit a lot of that to my education here, to that idea of artistic expression and cultivating individual talents and expression, not just fitting someone into a box. And I think that that idea of holistic or wholesome experience, you know, I remember I was just walking through these halls and I remember baking bread and going on walks and being outside and really feeling like we had a community, like we were a family. I was just telling Mary my experiences, you know, going to my classmates' homes. We would take field trips to each one of our homes and experience what it was like in that place, in that family, on that farm, or, you know, in wherever it was. And I didn't have that experience in public school. In public school, everything was separated. It felt cold. It felt really disconnected. And that was a challenge, but it was an opportunity to grow as well. And I think that development, that early child development that I had, has really given me the strength to feel and to understand not just myself, but the world around me, and to connect with community. And that's what I always come back to, is community. And that's why I came back, is to give back to the community that raised me. Not just the people, but the land, the water, the environment, which I hold so dear. And this special, special place of the Driftless area is there's nowhere like it in the world. I've traveled a lot in high school. As a junior, I went to live in Austria and Germany for a year. I would have never done that if I didn't have that base of a worldly understanding. So my family was relatively poor. We didn't travel much. We would go see my grandparents. My grandpa's 92 years old. He lives in Omaha, Nebraska, and he is the love of my life. I'd call him most weeks. So we would go see him, but we never traveled far on vacation. It was pretty localized for me. So that I had this opportunity to travel to Europe as a 17-year-old young man and live in foreign lands and travel all across the continent. And that I would have never had that vision or that opportunity without, I think, that freedom as a child. And obviously there was discipline, there was structure. I mean, there is structure here. It's just a different structure. And I think it's a structure that includes so much more of the human experience than my experience in, let's say, public school or, so. I think that experience of living in another culture, I was thinking back on it and thinking about how at this school, they really teach you about other cultures from a young age, stories from other cultures, other perspectives, other ways of doing things and thinking. And I think that is so important. And in the world today, as we all know, everything is interconnected now, right? With technology, with globalization. And I think those roots inside of me, that yearning to be part of something bigger, was really founded here. And in college, again, I went to a giant public university. I did very well academically. I had lots of challenges, mostly I would say cultural. Again, I found myself thinking, I think, and feeling differently than a lot of people in the world, a lot of my peers. And I was very blessed at UW-Madison to have a vastly interdisciplinary education. So I was, with my environmental studies degree, I was able to take classes in every single department I wanted. You know, hard science, sociology, environmentalism, all of that. And that, I think, again, really informed this idea that we are all connected as a community. We are all one. And that desire to give back. And that was founded, I think, in my ability and my privilege to be part of something so special as this Waldorf education, this larger community in Viroqua and the Driftless area. It truly is very special. So I am actually gainfully employed in my college education, which is pretty amazing, right? I didn't know, that was a vision that I wasn't sure was exactly gonna come to fruition. So that is pretty amazing. I work for a very small nonprofit. We have 4 staff right now, but we've been doing this work for over 12 years. And what I really realize is it's not about us on staff, it's about everyone. We are only as strong as our engaged community is, as people are engaged in this work. And I also have another job. I work for Driftless Brewing Company. So I'm part of the small business renaissance of the area, bringing both culture and commerce back to Soldiers Grove, Wisconsin. So much needed, I can tell you that. I've done a lot of farming and service work in my life. And I think that ability to relate to people, to feel. I was just in Madison yesterday for a sales and marketing mission with my head brewer. And I was noticing that people just light up when we walk into a room. And maybe they're a little intimidated. Maybe we come off a little strong. But that that fulfillment, that comfortability with myself, and that internal understanding, I think I have to give it the credit back to my childhood and back to the education and to the teachers I had. And I was very lucky in public school to have some great teachers. But it felt like luck because I saw so many of my peers just disengaged, just not willing to put themselves out there to learn, you know. And it was never a choice for me. It's just who I was. And that isn't just because I was born that way. That's because of that nourishment that I had as a young child, that community that I felt. And as Mary said, I didn't even go through all years here, which I sometimes regret, but it's just the way that the world worked out. But I've reconnected with so many of my fellow classmates now, and it's so amazing to see how important that time was for us and how those bonds are still there. And I love to see how so many of those peers from that time are doing so many wonderful things all over the world. Some of them are back here, some of them aren't. But I know in my heart that we are connected and that there, the work that is being done is because of that early connection. You know, I was in Madison on the square yesterday, and there was a class walking, and they all have ropes, right? They're tied together. And I guess that's the world we live in now. I mean, we need to be safe, obviously. But what I remember is the freedom to run around, to go to the wooded acre, to be out in nature, to be exploring with my friends, to fall down and learn to pick myself up with that feeling of family. You know, I think we've lost, you know, this idea of, like, we all come from tribes. And this building, the size of the groups here, it feels like a tribe in the best way, in the best way. And I'm so grateful for that experience and that understanding. And it is why I'm back. And it's why I'm living in a very rural place, doing very important work that is very hard to achieve the vision and the mission sometimes. So the nonprofit I work for, our vision is empowered communities in sustainable relationship with thriving ecosystems. And that's that vision. I didn't come up with it, but I've felt that my whole life. And that articulation of that vision is now being expressed and manifested in my daily experience with the community around here. And the strength and the resiliency of this rural community is something that I hold so dear to myself. And I feel a great responsibility to give back to that. And that's why I'm here today. And I hope all of you are having a wonderful time at this school. And I hope you feel and you can see that what is going on here is very important and it's different. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing to be different in this world and to hold our strengths and our individual resiliency as who we are. Not just ourselves, but as a community, as a family, because that's who we are. That's what I believe. Thank you.